Yo, we're Bell Working It Today, totally local podcast. You know how it goes. We love being on location. Totally local podcast, Monmouth County, Ocean County's view, window into all the lives of every entrepreneur, local business, and colorful character in and around this Jersey Shore area. I tried to say area a little better this time because I slurred a little sometimes. So here we are once again, Aaron. Why am I being so quiet? We're outside.
I don't know why you're being quiet, but you know, last week when we had Jason on and we were remote on Zoom, like we had a dance party during the intro music. I'm like trying to have it in my head right now and it's just not working. We need to get a speaker out here, Ming. Like, we need to get that intro music up and pumping.
This is what you got
to
do.
Get us rolling.
We're on location. It's like Regis and Kathy Lee. Am I dating myself? I don't know. But, you know, when you're going live, you get gravel pits, you get noises in the background. You can't just have that feedback going. Chris Dietz.
How's it going?
The deadline is approaching once again.
It is.
CPA to the stars. Chris, why is there always a deadline approach? There's always a deadline.
Always a deadline. Usually two big deadlines, April 15th, October 15th. COVID this year, they gave July 15th instead of April 15th. People ignore them just like they do every year.
Yeah, of course. Well, how could you not? And anyway, if you're wondering where all these balls are from and why we're out here in the ball garden, we're at Bell Works. It's a beautiful building. Thank you, a Shared Universe Podcast Studio, Ming Chen, for always hooking it up on location. For all your podcast needs, please get in touch with the Shared Universe Podcast Studio because they do it. They do it all up. If you'll notice, I got my Shared Universe Podcast Studio sweatshirt on, and there's more in stock, I believe. This is an OG.
I need to order mine. I think I'm gonna have to trade Ming for one of these LG hoodies.
Go.
I mean, it's a fair trade.
Epic shouts to Yes Graphic. I believe they printed the most recent ones.
Yep.
Yeah, keeping it totally local. We got to get Adam back on the show. If you guys don't know, this beautiful building, these windows behind us, they were designed and established and created by the famous architect Eero Saarinen, and you know, he's known for designing the Dulles International Airport, and also the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. You know,
put a pause on this. Are you reading from your notes?
I have notes.
Are you reading?
You know, when I started this show, I used to have notes, and then I stopped having notes because I thought I was too highfalutin. And I had to get notes going again because there's only so many things we could, as far as deadlines and taxes and accounting, you know, I got to talk about some other stuff. That's why I got to talk about Eero Saarinen, you know.
Does anybody know how to say that correctly? Can we get a phonetically
write it in. Hashtag Eero Saarinen. And epic shouts to Ralph Zucker, who was the big baller who came in. You know, this place was big in the 80s, in the 70s, possibly. They were doing all kinds of weird stuff with telecommunications and whatnot in here, developing telephones and UFO technology and whatnot. And then they shut it down. And then Ralph Zucker came in and he just was like, he put a big gamble on the place. I wonder what the accounting looked like for purchasing this, redeveloping it, selling the personal side and keeping the commercial. Must have been very complicated, no?
I would probably say, yeah, probably a lot of entire team just on that project. Big four accounting firm. Cost segregation analysis.
Wow. I don't even know what you just said, but it sounds like it's like you take a bunch of words that I know and then you string them together. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I just want to give a big shout out to Angelo Gingerelli, who's been holding it down with the event clips and stuff for local events. We've been calling it the Totally Local Summer, and he's been showing little clips on Instagram and Facebook and letting people know that there's stuff still going on in and around the area. And, you know, it's been working out pretty well, you know, so I just wanted to give him a shout out for that. You know, it lets people know what's going on because there are still events. You know, you can go outside, you can do things. You know, have you been doing anything?
We were just talking about one that Chris's fiance is going to tonight. So
Seafair. It's a drag show over at the Seafair.
Where's the Seafair?
is it Highlands, Atlantic
Seafarer
Highlands?
Seafarer in the Highlands.
Really?
It's a
drag old, shows in the Highlands.
Very progressive area, I think.
Exactly.
How dare you?
And we love the Highlands. We got to go back to the Highlands.
I love. I've been to the. I grew up. I used to go for my birthday.
Chubby Pickles calling your name again.
Oh yeah, I used to go to the Clam Hut when I was a kid, man. I would always go there for my birthday and stuff. You love the Clam Hut. I miss the Careless Navigator. Epic Shouts now parking lot. Very sad. But anyway, people come in. Beautiful people come in. And open things like the Chubby Pickle, Mr. Slavin. We got to get back down there.
That's another good happy hour. I mean, we created our own happy hour today by bringing some of our own beer smuggled in my backpack.
High school style.
I think it's legit out here, though, right, man? You can have beer out here.
We haven't gotten yelled at, so yeah. I think we're okay.
It was like, you know, walking in here, it's like you ever watch like a sci-fi movie? It's like a sci-fi movie where the bad guys, like, where their outfit is, like, you know, like you walk in, the security's there, everyone's nice, everyone's sitting around, looks like supermodel, you know, they're very, like, everything's very sleek, and then you know there's bad stuff going on that upper floor, you know? I don't know if that's happening. I don't know if the villain's moved into the building yet, but, you know, I think there's some vacancy.
Do you see that villain tech? You walk in, you're right up on the screen, shows your temperature right next to your face.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I wonder what they do. They'd probably just tackle you and like tase you or something, right?
Come in with a fever, you gotta run for it.
Yeah, seriously. It's like Minority Report.
Throw a tarp over your head, drag you to an undisclosed location.
Exactly.
I mean,
but I mean, we were fine, so it's beautiful. We love it out here.
Do that? No, it's a bad joke. Sorry.
What? I've seen some of the restaurants too in there. Like, you can't go in them. There's just a menu outside. I don't even know how to order. I don't know if you have to pay with Bitcoin or, you know, how that works. How does Bitcoin work with accounting? Have you dealt with any crypto?
I have. I have a few clients who deal with it a lot. The most basic, think of it as a stock.
Uh-huh.
You know, you buy it at a price, you sell it at a price, you recognize a gain.
They can't, like, how could they, if you say buy Bitcoin on, say, a platform like Coinbase, and then you transfer it over to, say, like, Gemini, and then you switch it to, like, Chainlink or something, and then you put that onto, like, a cold storage, how are they going to track that stuff?
So, it's kind of part on you, part on the different providers.
Uh-huh.
They're supposed to track, you know, the value when it comes in, the value when it goes out. Again, it's still the Wild West right now.
Honor system with Bitcoin, so that
more or less
works out well.
Yeah, that's like epic shouts to Jack Dorsey over at what was it? What company? I think it was Jack Dorsey. Maybe it was somebody else. There was a big company, Square Up, one of those companies. They just invested like $50 million in Bitcoin. So
wow.
I think that stuff's going to get pretty popular with the mainstream, especially with all, you know, the economy and whatnot's going on. You know,
I'll stick to Venmo. That's the digital currency that I need right now.
It's funny. People have been saying, you know, Bitcoin. I'm still waiting for Bitcoin to be a thing.
I love Bitcoin. Bitcoin's a thing, man. Buy that Bitcoin.
How many Bitcoins you got?
I can't disclose that for tax purposes, but I do. Let's just say I'm holding, okay? I'm holding my bag, okay? Got some Chainlink. I got some Litecoin. I was into some other stuff, Bitcoin Cash. I had some Ethereum, but I got out of that stuff. Should have gotten to Chainlink when it was $7. Didn't listen to anybody. Now it's up to like $10. I bought in. You know what I always say? Buy high, sell low. So, you know, I bought at the wrong time, but I'm just going to hold it. You know, I'm not a trader. So I'm going to see what happens with that. Speaking of which, I was Googling some like accounting stuff, and there's some terms out there that I don't really know what they mean, and they sound good, but they're bad. Like tax shelter. It sounds like a great place to keep things, you know? It's like a shelter. It's safe. But that's illegal, right? How do you get into that tax shelter stuff?
So generally, tax shelters are you're dealing with multinational transactions.
Uh-huh.
For example, one of the most famous is Ronaldo just got in trouble. I think his dad's actually doing time because of it. So for example, I think what he did was the name Cristiano Ronaldo, he sold to a company,
uh-huh,
probably the Virgin Islands or one of those, or the picture is a likeness of his face. And then what you do is you charge yourself a royalty in the country you live.
Uh-huh.
So let's say I make $10 million. Uh-huh. Christie's makes $10 million. Well, Christie's Inc. over in the British Virgin Islands is going to charge me a $10 million royalty. In the U.S., I have no income. It's all over there. I sheltered the money in tax.
Wow, that sounds great. Everyone should do that.
Anybody want to buy my name? For sale. Yeah. 10 million's the number. I'm game.
They're super, you know. So there's certain things as far as like that goes. It's illegal technically, but like rich, you know, probably the supervillain that lives at the top of Bellworks.
Exactly.
He's doing that stuff and no one's catching him, right?
No, you get caught. Those are, everybody always says, you know, oh, I'm afraid of getting audited. I'm afraid of getting audited. The average person, yes, you can get audited.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm the IRS, am I going to go after the guy who's maybe hiding $10,000 a year? Or am I going to go after the guy who's hiding $10 million a year by sending it to the Virgin Islands?
Oh.
So those are the guys they're really looking for.
And they track it down. Have you now, you don't have to answer this hypothetically. Hypothetically, if you were dealing with a client and you've seen this kind of stuff, you kind of, is it the kind of case where you're just like, look, guys, I'm going to back out of this and I'm going to advise you. Like as a, you know how like they have like attorneys and it's like client a privilege or yep. confidentiality? Do accountants
unfortunately
have that?
We don't have that.
So you could just be like, all right, I'm going to call the FBI right now.
So I do have, you know, an ethical duty to keep my mouth shut.
That's
more
good.
Or less. But if I get called on in court, it's kind of not much I can't say.
Do you have like, as far as becoming an accountant, it's not just that you're good at math. You have to have some kind of like license, like a license.
So
right?
There's a few different things. You can either be just a regular run-of-the-mill accountant. You can work anywhere doing accounting, bookkeeping, uh-huh. no payroll. Then if you go to the tax route, you can become an enrolled agent, which allows you to do certain things before the IRS.
Yeah.
I'm a CPA, so it's a state-by-state licensure. It allows me to do audits, other services. I can represent clients before the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like different levels. So I'm that top level.
Is there like, he's at that top level,
I'm at
people,
the top level.
Chris Dietz. You need that CPA? You need that CPA action? You got that deadline coming up? There's always a deadline coming up, and Chris is going to help you out. Now, when it comes to tax shelters, obviously that's illegal and nobody should do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying here. Don't do that. But is there like something like right beneath the shelter? Is there like a tax shanty or like a tax like, you know, flotilla or something?
So it's tax avoidance is what we call it, which is completely legal, completely legitimate. That's where somebody like me steps in. I look at your business, look at, you know, your personal spending habits. I actually just helped a client right before I came here avoid tax on $7,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a high deductible insurance policy, a ton of out-of-pocket medical costs each year. We're getting them set up on a health savings account. So essentially what that means is you could take, because it's a family coverage, you're taking $7,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
putting it into that account tax-free, and then they can spend it on their medical needs.
So you got to, like, it's not like, people just need to, like, wise up and talk to a CPA or tell them what they got and be like, look, save me some money.
Exactly.
People shouldn't be getting, I don't personally, like, whatever people are doing with their taxes and however they're figuring it out, as long as they're abiding by the you know, the letter of the law, I think that's great. I don't think anybody should be mad about that stuff. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's a election coming up. There's a presidential election, guys. And I don't know if you know this, but you should definitely learn about it and then vote accordingly. You know, a vote for me because I'm running. But anyway, that's another story.
You're going to write you in?
Oh, yeah. Write me in. Right. Totally local podcast, you know, host. Just write that on there.
Completely legit.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, all these, like, politicians that I just don't understand. I probably understand politics less than I understand accounting. And I don't know shit about accounting. So they're always talking about, like, you know, oh, I'm not raising taxes. I'm going to lower taxes. But they never really, doesn't seem like they do. Like, I don't think they do. And I'm wondering, like, has there been a point, like, do you see a difference as a CPA, like, when it overturns and there's a new president and he promises all this stuff, have you seen, like, a savings, like, when a new president comes in? Does that actually happen?
It depends.
Ah.
So
typical accountant, lawyer, insurance guy answer.
It depends. Politician.
So, I mean, presidents can promise all they want. Lower taxes, raise taxes, change taxes, eliminate taxes. But at the very front, it comes down to the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Because if this it doesn't fit into the Senate budget rules, it's not getting passed. So the president could say, I'm going to get rid of taxes altogether. Uh-huh. But the Senate's going to say, no, you're not. Uh-huh. We can't figure out in the budget. No.
Uh-huh.
But the most recent tax reform, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, effective January 1, 2018, a good majority of my clients saw their effective tax rate, which is the amount you pay relative to your total income,
uh-huh.
go down. That being said, a lot of clients in this area did not.
Okay.
Because when you're looking at, you know, 15, 20, 30 and up a year in property taxes and that gets cut to 10, you're not going to be too happy about that. But on the whole, I would say a good chunk of my clients did see lower tax rates from
and
that.
And it's more like, I mean, it. I would imagine like it helps more of like wealthy people. Like, do wealthy people get taxed up the wazoo, if I can borrow a term from my grandmother? Like, you make more money, you pay like exponentially more in tax. So like, it's mostly I guess it depends on if you follow politics. If you're more of the conservative persuasion, then wealthy people save money, and then on the other side of it, you really don't save money. Well, you get screwed.
It's also, a lot of people say the wealthy don't pay taxes,
uh-huh.
but it really depends on how they have the cash flows usually to invest in real estate.
Yeah,
real estate comes with the depreciation tax shield, which this building, I don't know, $100 million, $200 million, whatever they spent on the building. Well, over the life of the building, 39 years, they can take a chunk of that off and write it off every year. So even though cash isn't leaving their pockets,
mm-hmm.
they're writing off a portion of that building.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll lower your taxable income. You're not going to pay tax on that rental income you're collecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's things like that yeah. allow them to pay less taxes.
So, I mean, but people should just avoid, as far as politics is concerned, please don't ask me, because I don't know what the hell's going on. But I will have an opinion on it every single day of the week. As far as, like, worrying about that stuff, or whenever I hear that come up in, a debate, you know, I don't care who's got a fly in their head. I don't care who's smirking. People say, oh, my guy won. Oh, my guy won. It's an echo chamber, all that stuff. But when it comes to the tax stuff, you basically should just not believe, you know, what the hell they're saying, because there's all loopholes. It's great.
Is it just the tax stuff that we don't believe? Or?
Well, I mean, start there. You know, start there. But, I mean, it's just funny. Like, you hear people say, oh, my guy won. Oh, my guy won. It's like, I mean, you don't win any. Well, I guess you win the presidency eventually, but I don't think it's determined by, like, who talked over who. It just seems kind of silly. But there is an important election coming up, and it is local. And we're talking, of course, about, hold on.
Oh, wow, check it. Check the
Township
note.
Committee in Homedale. There's a political throwdown. Now, people are talking this and that about red and blue and you know who, but really what it comes down to is we got to talk about totally local politics. I'm getting into politics, guys.
I know nothing about Homedale politics.
You don't know anything about Mayor Greg Buontempo?
Never met him.
No?
Never met him.
Well, I don't know how this shit works, because apparently he's the mayor, and then there's a township committee, and he's trying to get on the committee. Did you know this?
It's above my head. Listen, in Monmouth Beach, we have our own race going on. So I've been following that. There's two. We run on a commissioner system. So uh-huh. there's two open commissioner seats that seven people are running for.
Oh my God!
So it's like, it's super intense. It's aggressive, like, and everybody's just concerned about the beach, because, you know, it's Monmouth Beach,
it's
and we care
in
about
the name.
Beach, and, you know, it's keep our taxes low. And let's figure out how to keep the free beach free, but also keep the yellow and blue license plates out of our streets and our parking lots without paying for it. So there's, you know, it's intense down there. They don't care about the flooding issues. They're like, you know,
that's in God's hands.
Too many people on the free beach. You know, we gotta take care of it.
Too many outsiders on the free beach.
And I get it. I see it all.
Do they like knock on your door or like talk to you personally?
I live too far from the beach. I don't know. You know, I'm like a half a mile from it, so I'm not in the throes of it. But Chris and I know somebody that's right on the beach, and, you know, the increased traffic and everything mm-hmm. going on. People pull into random driveways all the time looking for parking spots.
It's the worst.
People are aggressive.
Yeah.
I like, you go to vote, you go into that, like, quote-unquote booth, and you vote, and it's like, there's, like, the main people that, like, you know, the media's talking about, and then the lamestream media's talking about. Not like us at Totally Local. We're getting down to the roots, the grassroots of what's going on locally. And you know, I pull up to this booth. I've been voting. You know, this is whatever third, fourth, fifth, sixth time I've voted. I can't remember. When I was in college, it was a haze, but I did vote for somebody. But you get in that booth, and there's like the main people, and then there's like these secondary people, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are. Like they're just running. They're like, dad ran, they ran, and you make money too. Like if you're part of this township committee, do you get like a salary, right?
I don't think so. Most of these township spots.
What about the mayor?
They're volunteer. Most of the mayor spots are volunteer. Really? Also,
seriously?
Yeah, the mayors aren't. Most mayors are not a paid position. Uh-huh. I don't think.
No wonder most of them are ineffective.
Yeah, anyway. I don't even know what a mayor does.
Let's get out of this political conversation.
Oh, no, I just got started, man.
He's got more notes on this.
Yeah, I got more notes, dude. There's Greg Buontempo, who's the mayor. He's trying to get on the township committee with his running mate, Ronald Emma. But this gets deeper, too, because I looked into this, man. I was going to do a lot of different towns, but I got fixated on the
home. He's
going to
show up here and grab a microphone.
I would love that. Let's turn this into a political debate. Do you know? You don't know Ron or DJ? He goes by DJ, Domenico Lucarelli. And he's battling with Tom Critelli for this spot, and there was like a lawsuit, and then hold on, there's somebody else that's involved too. What's her name? Flynn. Vicky Flynn is getting up in here now. She's also an attorney, so she is representing Critelli in a legal fight against Homedale because of the Monmouth County clerk placement of the voting ballots. I don't get it, but it's scintillating. There's a lot going on here.
I sell insurance for a living. It's all over my head.
But wait, there's more. Flynn is representing Critelli in his own legal battle because back in 2013 during Superstorm Sandy, he got a check for $19,000 because of his house got like damage. And now they're all fighting over this stuff. It's like a lot of infighting and intrigue. They should have like a reality TV show. Now, I don't know how you get, I guess because of the Sandy damage, you get a check. How does that tax? If you get a check from the government because of Sandy, is that $13,000 taxable, or is he just walking around with that?
Only if you took a casualty loss on it. So if you wrote off the loss on the property, then it would be taxable on the back end.
Probably did that.
Depends.
Well, the last part I'm going to bring up is Vicky Flynn is in trouble because they made a big ass sign and they put it out in Homedale somewhere where there's a $1 million tax hike on the Board of Education. Now, Aaron, I know you're intrigued. How do you? I mean, what does a Board of Education do, guys? Like, what does that do? I'm not educated enough to know that. And how do you put a $1 million tax hike on it? And why is the mayor making a giant sign?
If schools need upgrades.
Okay.
More technology, right? The increased cleaning costs in the school systems today during our COVID era have to be through the roof. So $1 million might not even be enough money to raise to keep the schools clean and safe for our children. So, you know,
I mean, it might
that's all I've got. I know nothing about it.
Are you running on the platform that you need to raise school taxes even higher than $1 million, Aaron?
My kids are in private school. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I don't.
I pay my taxes and also pay for school, so you know.
there's a lot of mudslinging, and I just wonder, like, what's is it just the power? Is it just the quest for power? Does Vicky Flynn want to be in the top of this building here in charge of stuff? Is Buontempo going to hold it out and be part of the township council?
Is there going to be like a banner release coming down the side of the building right now? Like,
that'd be perfect. You know, you start looking into this stuff. I'm going to start calling these people. You know, I got something in my mailbox that Neptune is going to start developing on these green acres and this property and stuff. And I'm like, shit, man, I just want to live my life. You know, like, what am I supposed to do?
With all this research into Homedale, what's going on in the Toon, in the hills?
I mean, stay tuned. Next episode, I'm looking into it. I got something. First of all,
you're gonna call Bontempo and be like, I don't vote in your community, in your district.
Well, that's what I figured. I don't want to, like, you know, I'd rather talk about other people's towns.
Tell
I don't.
The viewers want to know.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off in my town. You know, it's bad enough I'm getting these now. Epic shouts to the Postmaster General and the Postal Service. I love you guys. Somebody illegally shoved something in my mailbox. I think by law, you have to have a stamp on something. You can't just, it's not like just a slot you could throw papers in. I don't think.
It goes back to the Little League days. I remember you would always be told, you know, the little, like, the envelopes. Do you do that down here?
Mailbox.
What?
Little Leaguers, like, walk house to house, like, asking for money?
Anyone that walks up to my house, I yell at them, and I have a dog that just, I let them
bark. They're like 9-year-old kids, though. Like,
I don't care, dude. I don't care.
They're on the ring.
I don't age discriminate.
I see you.
They always used to tell us, you know, don't put it in the mailbox. Like, put it under the door. Put it in the thing. It's illegal to put it in a mailbox.
Well, somebody just shoved something in my mailbox and told me to call the mayor. So that's my next call. But, I don't want to. I'd rather talk about people in other towns, their mayors, because I can't get, you know, in trouble. I don't want to get pulled over and, like, anally probed or whatever they're going to do to me, pull me over and, like.
It's all digital now. We just had it done when we walked in here. So it's all digital. There's no probing.
All right.
It's
good.
Just around you. It's an aura.
I don't want to get pulled over and then, like, they have, like, their like, nightstick and they break my brake light and they're, see your brake light's out. Seems your brake light's out, mister. Can I see your ID? He's reaching for a gun, you know, and all the stuff breaks. You don't want to get part of that, you know? You don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. Maybe I shouldn't be talking. I'm going to be pulling out of Homedale here and, you know.
Bontempo's going to come pull you over.
Seriously.
Chris and I will run lead block for you.
How often do they vote on? I was trying to look up. The reason I fell down this dumb rabbit hole is because I was looking to see when, like, mayors, the vote on mayors, but I couldn't find any. This is how dumb I am. I had to, like, Google, like, when people get to vote on mayors, and I couldn't find out, like, when. Is it just when somebody dies and they have to find somebody else? Like, when do you vote on a mayor?
I think it's on a different cycle, and it also depends on the town.
Okay.
Depends on the system. Depends on the system in the city or the township, whether they have a mayor and council, or if they have commissioners, and, you know, amongst the commissioners, they flip a coin for who's going to be mayor.
Wow.
You know, there's so many different systems around, and so that's another rabbit hole to jump in.
It seems like to me, now I could be wrong, but it seems like there's older people, maybe not so tech savvy, but it seems like people that are running these councils and the mayors and stuff, they don't really have a big digital imprint, and that kind of helps them not really draw attention to themselves, unless you're, you know, Bontempo and Ms. Flynn and all these other people.
I get emails, text messages from Fairhaven just about every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's almost annoying.
What, like, just from the different people that are running for stuff?
From them, from the town, from the I think I just got one today, the mayor's update on what's going on today.
Wow, they're advanced.
It's a town, what is it, maybe a half a square mile, and
people love Fairhaven.
The amount of stuff that's going on is insane.
What's going on?
I don't know, I always just ignore them.
Can you read the email to us?
I ignore them and I complain that I missed the garbage off day, the bulk pickup day, and how does everybody else know? They just read the emails that I don't.
It's so bad, they're telling us when not to put the garbage out and when we can put out big garbage. Oh my God,
yeah.
These terrible emails.
Man, that stuff, I hear you though, bulk, you know, people follow that stuff and they just put bulk out whenever they want, then you got all this garbage in the streets.
Garbage in the streets.
Where's Mayor Bontempo when this stuff is going on, you know? Although there's got to be epic picking going on in Homedale. You know, if you're going to go anywhere, if you're looking for bulk pickup, there's got to be tons of people going through, like, Homedale, Fairhaven, Rumson, you know. That's where all the good stuff
is. It's funny, though. Our street at between, like, 6 o'clock at night when we put our stuff out to, I guess, 8 a.m. when I left for work the next day, they hadn't come to pick up the bulk yet, but I'd say about, like, 40-50% of it was gone.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, those pickers are out.
They're out there.
Oh, man, I put out a table, I put out a bike, gone. What I don't get is, like, it was really late, and I got a kid sleeping, I got a dumb dog that's just barking all the time, and, like, some lady came up, pulled up, she had, like, the smallest clown car I've ever seen, and she takes this kitchen table, and, like, my dog's barking, my kid's sleeping, I'm, like, crying. I'm like, please don't wake the kid up. And they actually got the table somehow in their car. And I'm like, who the fuck is this maniac? And it turns out it was, like, my neighbor down the street. I see my table on their yard. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. I mean, I guess it's going to a good use. You know, you got to respect that.
2 years ago, we were cleaning the garage. Everything was in the driveway. Like, I was legit cleaning the garage out. And these people come walking up into our driveway, start looking at stuff. I'm like, can I help you? They're like, oh, we thought you were giving this stuff away.
It's like a brand new, you know, like, miter saw. Like,
at least they spoke instead of just, you know, snatching and running away.
I saw some the other day. I pulled over. I'm like, wow, that's a great workbench.
Let's get a Ming selfie.
Man, he's got so many gadgets. We got it.
We got a show to go.
Did you know that New Jersey spends $150 million a year processing marijuana arrests? Isn't that crazy?
I saw that statistic from our governor out on Twitter or something like that.
Is he?
He wants that legalized.
That's governorships. That's like every 2 years, isn't it?
It's a four.
It's a 4 year.
Oh, it's a 4 year thing.
He wants that legal ganj.
Yeah.
There's a dispensary right in Eatontown. Like Garden State Dispensary has one right on Route 35 in Eatontown, right across from Lowe's.
Do you know that you could get a license?
I know it because I drove past it.
You can get a license right now. There's a website. You could just go on and be like, oh, I get headaches. And you can get a straight up... Homeboy showed me like he had a license. You can get a license, and then you can go to these dispensaries with your wacky tobacco.
Get whatever you want.
And you know, I'm surprised at this day and age, because if you look at states like Colorado, which I visited, and totally legal out there, but they are balling hard. They're making a lot of money, and New Jersey still doesn't want to like make that money.
It's coming.
I think it's coming, and then people are like, you see these comments from people, and they're like, oh man, and then what? We're just going to have zombies wandering around, and it's going to wreak havoc. I'm like, people are drinking and doing, you know, all kinds of
people
stuff.
People are drinking on podcasts.
Yeah,
I mean,
people are drinking,
you know,
on
the next
podcasts.
One's going to be the totally local smoke show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, oh man. That's that day. When the governor, like, you know, I don't know if he rings a bell or hits a hammer, but once it's legal, we're definitely having that show. Definitely having that. I don't know how that works.
Some smoke shows to join us.
Exactly. The smoke show. We got to figure out how that works. I don't know if you're going to be able to, like, you can't smoke cigarettes inside, but I don't know if you're going to be able to blaze up the spleef in, like, you know, in a building.
Just chew it.
Chew it. Drink it.
Edibles.
I'm just picturing Aaron just chewing on it.
Just chew it on it.
Leaf.
That's perfect.
But it was funny. I was driving by that dispensary in Eatontown, drove past the one that's Edison Railway up there.
Yep. Bridgewater.
They need, like, you would expect, like, vending machines just lining the sidewalk around it. You know what I mean? Like, why not, right? Where is it better to sell snacks?
I mean,
than right outside a dispensary.
There was that girl that made a lot of money, Girl Scouts. She had her thing set up right outside a dispensary in Colorado. She was making banks. You gotta, like, people are worried about the smell, too. These are legit comments on Twitter. I don't know if it's, like, Russian bots or just, I don't know, somebody down in Whiting, like, complaining because they have nothing better to do. Come on, Whiting, get with it. But, like, you know, people are seriously worried about the smell of it, like, ruining their neighborhood or something.
I grew up in North Jersey. Just drive along the turnpike between, like, 13 and 15. They'll never complain about smells again.
What are these? Now, the dispensaries in Colorado, they, like, they look like you would think, like, you know, they're called, like, hey, man, and, like, they got, like, a jester as their logo and stuff. Like, is that how the New Jersey ones are like CVS's though? They're not. They don't look fun. They have to look professional, right? Like the one in Eatontown.
It's like a minute clinic.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, from the outside, right?
I only looked at it from the outside because I do not have a card.
You can get them real easily.
You got to get like a doctor to give you a prescription, which you can do online.
Yeah.
Pay the doctor like $200 via Venmo, or Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then you get your script, and then you apply for your license, and then you can go to make an appointment at the dispensary and get whatever you need to soothe whatever ails you, and if that's what you need, that's all for it.
I mean, I wonder how that's all going to go down, and why people, like, I would imagine, because we're in New Jersey and things get taxed to shit, like, you'd think that, like, this comes in, this the towns that are, that's going to be in, the state is going to make a bunch of money, you know? So why would people, like, give a crap?
Insurance companies will make money, you know? Yeah.
Where does that come in? I mean, if people come into work stoned, but they have, like, a license that says, I get headaches, man.
That's another one of those tricky things, right? You know, I can't drink alcohol on the job.
That's right.
Can I get stoned on the job because I have a prescription to do so? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to look into this. It's coming right around the corner.
I hope I don't have that issue because I don't want to be on the other side of it to tell somebody no, they can't get high while they're at work because they need it for medical purposes.
Yeah.
And every time I say that, I have to do the air quotes. I don't know why. Like, it's automatic. The air quotes have to be for medical purposes every single time. But the dispensaries need a lot of insurance. The groweries, these plants are expensive. Like, there's so many moving pieces around this, and so many people can make a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't know what the, you know, you hear these people, these voters, these citizens being like, oh, I don't know, it's going to be really bad. Or these towns that are like, Freehold will not be part of the marijuana, bro. But it's like, dude, whoever has the marijuana in their town is going to make like a ton of money. Yeah. You know? Asbury Park was all about it. I had some inside insight into like how that goes about. And there's certain laws where you have to be, you can't be within, the distance of a school, of a church, of certain things. And it left these tiny little pockets. And once the mayor of Asbury Park was just like, oh yeah, we would allow that, all these people just latched onto and was looking for all these spots and blah, blah, blah. But they're only giving out so many licenses. You know, it's kind of like taxes. Shit gets complicated and you need somebody, that's like a licensed expert to like actually tell you what the hell's going on.
So do I have to pay federal income tax on my legal marijuana sales in the state of New Jersey, even though it's not federally legal?
Yeah, have you ever dealt?
Technically, even if you're illegally selling marijuana, you're still supposed to pay tax on it. What makes it interesting
honor system.
If it's an illegal sale, you're not allowed to deduct the cost. So you're selling coke out of the back of your truck. You report the income, but you can't deduct the cost of your product.
Do you have to say all of that? Do you have to like when you're paying taxes on your cocaine business? Do you have to like say like what you made the money from?
Not the exact product.
Okay,
but the nature of the business you're in. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be retail sales, maybe.
Okay,
it sounds like if you get hit criminally, they can also tax you on whatever money they think you've made during your criminal enterprise. Like, so while you're rotting in jail, they just get to liquidate anything that you ever bought and keep it.
That's why you gotta sell your cocaine with Bitcoin, people. All right? You heard it here first. I'm not condoning or saying what you should do. But that's how you should do it.
So I got good news for you. I just got a text back from Mark from the distillery.
What did he say?
He's game for your show on the 22nd that you want to do. Spiced pineapple martinis are already being shaken for
you. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I'm Ubering into that. I already talked to the wife about it. She said it was fine because it's the 100 episode. You guys are invited. It's going to be debaucherous, you know, on or off screen. It hasn't been decided yet. Obviously, Ming, please clear your calendar. I'm going to need you there because
the whole day.
If you're going big, I say you invite Bon Tempo and the other and let them have a debate right for the 100th episode.
That's a perfect idea. You heard it here first, Mayor Bon Tempo. If you want to get part of that, if you want to be part of that township council, township committee, you got to come on to the Totally Local Podcast and explain what the hell that committee does and why you should be a part. You're already the mayor. Why are you double dipping, bro? Do you make money as being a mayor and a part of the committee? What's your title if you're part of this committee? You know, bring Ronald with you too. I don't care. And that, you know, I'm not sexist or biased. I don't know what party either of you guys are part of. And if you've told me, I wouldn't even know what that means. So you could tell Miss Flynn about it and Critelli. I don't care that you received $19,000 for storm damage. Maybe a tree hit your house and it was messed up. I don't know. It's tax deductible, right? No, it's not. Somebody's got to owe some money on that. But you know. Oh, it was because of the Hurricane Irene. I'm sorry, I said Sandy before. I got a printer retraction. It was because of 2011. And it was caused by sewer backup now, which is interesting because...
What a segue.
Thank you, guys. I'm a professional. Now, sewer backs up, hurricane, they're getting money from the government, but you could still... if you have the insurance, you got to have that insurance from what is it called? From the house to the street?
The service line is from the house to the street.
So if they had a sewer back up, does that count?
You know, 2011, Irene, there was some water. We had some damage. And it all depends on where his money came from. So it also depends on where did the water come from? Did it come from the, did it really back up and he got an insurance payout? Or did the water really come from flooding and he also applied for of like a federal grant of some sort? Did he double dip into insurance and the federal money? Or was he short on insurance and never had it and then was able to make way with the laws that were in place at the time and get that federal money to help put it all back together? It's too many unknowns. Too many unknowns.
Bottom line, get that service line coverage, people. If you own a home in and around the Jersey Shore area, you got to talk to Aaron, first of all, from LG Insurance. Second of all, get that service line coverage because you never know. Like, Critelli might be on the hook for this stuff. He might be in trouble. You know, it happened so long ago. You think, like, you know, whose business is that? You know, like, why is
statute of limitations on this?
Yeah. Someone's digging some dirt. Someone's doing a little Googling of their competition.
I mean, if I could find it, any asshole can find it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and Vicky Flynn, I don't know, Board of Education, what's with the $1 million tax site? Just let us know. Just fill us in on what you spent it on. That's what I don't get. Like, why aren't these people, like, on their Twitters or their Facebooks, like, just telling people what's going on, you know? Should this turn in? Should I just start doing political episodes?
Totally political podcast?
Yeah.
I'm sure there already is one.
I know, but this one would be better, obviously. There's a lot of, like, it's surprising how many Monmouth and Ocean County, or maybe it's not very specific, but there's a lot of Monmouth County, you know, they talk about Monmouth County stuff, but there's not a lot of political stuff going on. I think you need somebody of my caliber of you know, ineptitude and unpolitical, you know, ness that needs to be, you know, showcasing these kind of this kind of information.
And it's aggressive. Aggressive.
And listen, we're coming for you next, Whiting. We want to know who the mayor of Whiting is, and we're going to get to the bottom of that and why they won't allow legal marijuana sales in Whiting. You know, I tried to look it up on a map, and it's super, it's like Navasink. It's like one of these towns that's just super vague. The line is just blurry in Google. There's like question marks. Like, is it stop here? Does it stop here?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's not really like a definitive.
It's where you go to die.
Yeah. It's, well, and everything's part of Middletown, too. I'm not even touching
or Tinton Falls.
Whiting's around this area somewhere?
No. The OC.
That's like Manchester
west.
Too? Manchester.
Way west.
Yeah, but it's south.
Way southwest in the OC.
Yeah. Yeah, it's down there. And by the way, like I was just saying, I won't even touch Middle. I bow down to Middletown because it seems to me that Middletown is kind of connected, like Navasink, Atlantic. I don't know where Middletown is, but it's like everywhere. So
Middletown is one of the biggest townships in the state.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah. So what's the difference between a town and a township? I always get that. I never know what's
Hey Google,
when, where.
What's the difference between a town and a township?
Is that township is the territory of a town, a subdivision of a county, while town is a settlement, an area with residential districts, shops and amenities, and its own local government, especially one larger than a village and smaller than a city.
All right, thanks, Google.
Wow, there you go. We got to have Google on the show more often. That was super informative. I think if we start asking if we start asking them questions, if we start asking Google questions, this might not be so stupid. We might get to the point of stuff like really quick, you know? Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, epic shouts to everyone out there. Like I said, Angela Gingerelli, thanks for doing those events. I don't know what we're calling a totally local summer right now, but, you know, I want to keep these events and clips going into the winter and into the actual summer. So we're going to have to call it something else. So if you guys at home, if you guys have any ideas as far as local, we just call it local events. I don't know. Angela, think of a name, please. You know, we got to get some names going. Although, you know, I forgot to mention that DJ Uncle's Nephew is DJing at Georgie's this Friday from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's going to be outside. You got to wear a mask, but I just epic shouts to Uncle's Nephew because I know he hasn't DJed around here, I'm pretty sure, in a while, and it's nice to see things kind of getting back, you know.
Till 2 a.m. outside?
Yeah.
It's like a little chilly. I mean, it's past my bedtime, so I don't know who
people,
I am.
People are just stoked to be like, I think.
Sounds pretty good. If I was 25, it sounds awesome.
Did you guys do any pumpkin picking?
Done that.
Did you do it this?
We got our pumpkins. We did our apples.
Already?
You know, the kids did their pumpkin painting. We'll probably carve one or two up in the next, maybe this weekend.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to the Turtleback Zoo on Saturday with the girls. Super stoked. We got 10 a.m. tickets. Like, it's reservations to go to the zoo.
Oh.
Buy your tickets in advance. We got the first slot in the zoo. So we're going to go in, make our loops, get out, eat some lunch in the back of the car, and
boom. Perfect. Yeah, I picked
life
some pumpkins. It's really interesting because all the signs when you're looking at pick your own pumpkins, they're like pick your own pumpkins, and I'm like, hey asshole, we get to pick. You go to the grocery store, you get to pick your own pumpkin. You get to pick your own pumpkins. Like, no matter where you go, you get to pick them. It's not like you're picking them off the vine, but you know, I don't want to.
Definitely
ruin
misleading.
Don't rain on that parade. Don't rain on it.
Yeah.
You know, don't ruin it for the 5 year olds and under.
Well, my kid,
kinda,
you know,
like telling him that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I mean, come on.
My 10-month-old loved it. He didn't know what the hell was going on. He's like, all right, what's this big orange thing? All right, let's
start
pick this
chewing
one.
On it.
You know, pumpkins, by the way, are heavy. Pumpkin talk, totally local. My wife is like, oh, let's pick one. Do we need a cart? I'm like, no. So I pick up a pumpkin. It's like the size of a basketball. You know, this is nothing. I can hold this. Well, it turns out, like, after about, like, I was going to say 15, 20 minutes, but, like, seriously, after, like, 5-10 minutes, I was like, this is heavy, and I do need a cart.
You look a little jacked. You look
Thank
a little
you.
Pumped up.
I've been doing a little exercising, you know. I'm just trying to get, you know, in shape a little bit. So I'm glad you noticed that. Thank you, Aaron. Earlier in the show, before we wrap everything up, you mentioned you're a fiancé.
Yes.
So how long have you been affianced, Chris?
About a year and a half now.
Year and a half. I guess you gotta, did you have something planned and then COVID got in the way? Or
no,
you're just putting it off as long as possible, Chris? Sounds like.
We had a venue we thought we wanted. Beautiful outdoor venue. Everything was great. And so we're working through it. Great. All right, well, let's see your indoor, like, rain option.
Yeah.
It was like going from this, beautiful.
Yeah.
To the inside of a conference room that was probably last redone in the 70s with the blue carpet and the pink walls. And so that kind of got gotten rid of. And then we said, all right, we want to do outdoors. Jersey's not going to work. So let's look at Florida. Well,
wow.
The next, well,
that's quite a leap.
We met at the University of Miami. A lot of our friends are in Florida.
Hell yeah.
So it all works out.
Chris is a partier. Now I know, dude. Going to Miami, learning about accounting, beer bongs, and whatnot.
Accounting.
Yeah.
In Miami.
That's awesome, dude.
So we picked there, but then the fall was hurricane season, so we couldn't do a wedding during hurricane season.
Yeah.
Stupid hurricanes.
Yeah.
So then, you know, then we're in the winter, and then it's tax season. So then, you know, it's kind of just
get married during tax season.
You can't get married during tax
season.
Actually, funny though, I'm best man in a wedding.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be during COVID. He cancels it.
Yeah.
Guy calls me up. Yeah, you know, I don't want to tell you when we rescheduled for. Just tell me. Come on, you know. Tax day, April 15th.
Geez.
So I have to leave. I'm going to be
pale,
fat, losing my hair,
long beard,
miserable. I have to walk right into a wedding and give a speech.
That's like mean, man.
Right?
That's like pretty mean. So wait a second. Back to your wedding. So you go in Miami or Jersey, or you have
Miami.
You're going to do Miami.
Yeah, do Miami.
I mean, you could do like there's got to be like dead of winter. You could do it down there and it'll
tax
be nice.
Tax season.
But like, okay, not dead of winter, almost.
Yeah, but
dead
then you're in the
winter.
Holidays and you have people to flop. People are broke during Christmas. They're overweight during Thanksgiving.
Oh man, you got to do. Listen, if
are
I have any,
are his feet cold?
Yeah, they're a little.
Mine are a little chilly. Just listening to this.
You got
to
take some advice from. If I know anything, it's not about politics. It's certainly not about accounting. But you just got to do whatever's right for you and your fiance and everyone else. Either falls in line or get the hell out of the way.
Yo, word. I second that.
So that's what you got to do. Are you doing DJ or a band?
DJ.
That's, I think, better because if you do a DJ, it's portable, easier to
DJ
do.
DJ live saxophonist, though.
That Perfect. Is why Chris is the man right there. Everybody loves a good saxophone.
Who doesn't love a saxophone?
I mean,
we had DJ with a live violinist.
There you go. See, you mix it up like that. That's a pretty nice. So have you picked a date at this point?
Yeah,
are you
May
waiting?
15th.
Okay. May 15th.
We have everything pretty much booked.
All right, good. That's awesome. And then are people groaning? They got to go down there? Or?
Who doesn't want to go to Miami?
That's true. In May around here, it might be warm, might be cold. It's kind of a toss-up.
Flights are cheap.
Yeah.
Book them now. Do you got the invites out? The save the dates?
Save the dates are out.
Man. Wow, it's good. It's good stuff. So it, how does having a fiance relate to your, you don't have to, you guys are still kind of in the eyes of the law and the Lord, you're separate,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the eyes of your denomination, you're separate. Obviously you guys aren't living together yet because that would be sinful. And as in the eyes of the government, you guys don't have to declare any kind of meshing of funds, right?
Right.
There's obviously, you know, once this all comes into play, are you kind of taking care of her accounting needs as of right now, or is it too close to home? It's like a plumber that doesn't work on his own plumbing.
No, it actually all works great. So her father is actually also my accounting partner.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow, there's more twists.
Scintillating.
Yeah, so...
I thought Buon Tempo was going to be the hot topic. This is getting spicy. So wait, spending long nights working, the daughter brings... Oh, I'm bringing lunch to you guys. And you guys' eyes lock, and you're like, oh, is that how it all went down?
No, so actually, it was funny. Back in school, I bounced to help at a local bar to help pay for college.
The story gets better and better. He can do your taxes and kick your ass. All right, continue.
So she actually transferred into school, walks up. For purposes of the story, won't say if it was or was not a legal ID, but it didn't look like one. Called around on it immediately, and then it was just happily ever after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. A bouncer, huh?
Yeah.
Did you have a point where you're just like, you ever see the movie Roadhouse?
I did.
So
he was a bouncer. He was a cooler.
Yeah. Well, you know. Okay. But did you ever have a point in your life where you're like, I don't know, this whole professional bouncing thing, it could go really well for me. Maybe accounting isn't just what I want to do. You know.
I would say about 3 hours on the job the first day, I was ready to be done.
Ready done.
Yeah.
A lot of fake IDs, getting people out.
Not even that. It's just. The worst part about it was it's, you know, 1 a.m. It's Miami. It's pouring rain out. Mm-hmm. There's not a soul in the bar. But, yeah, I just have to sit there on my stool outside and just wait. And wait. And I would look at the bartender. Can we leave? Because I was on salary. They were all on tips. So
yeah.
Can we leave? No, I need to make my money. I'm like, come, no one's here. What are you keeping me here for? So let me go home. Yeah, so it wasn't for me.
So it really, like, it right, kind of motivated you to become the CPA that you are today.
It did.
In some ways, metaphorically, you know, you're kind of watching that door between right and wrong, the right side of the law and the wrong side of the law. You're checking people's IDs at the door and making sure they get all their accounting needs in order before they could go in. Exactly. Otherwise, you're telling them, look, if you're going to be selling illicit substances, you got to declare that stuff or I can't help you. So it all worked out really in the end.
It did. No, there's a lot of parallels between them, believe it or not.
Yeah, and you know, this will all be covered in part two of when we deep dive into Chris Dietz, you know, personal journey of becoming an accountant. Who thought?
Actually, it'll all be in my book out August 1st, Bouncer to CPA, the story of Chris Dietz.
Yeah, Bouncer to Bouncing. Checkbooks. And how to, all right, sorry.
That was close.
You're
right there.
Thank you. Guys, it's been wonderful. It's been an enjoyable ride. I think we learned a lot about politics and accounting and bouncing and love and marriage. Aaron, do you have any final thoughts?
It's beautiful. No, I'm great. I'm as happy as I can be. I get to go home and play with my kids. My wife gets to go out tonight because I went out last night.
Nice.
You know, that's a happy marriage.
That is a happy marriage.
You know, trade off and everybody gets to
take
go play.
Take some notes.
Everybody gets to go play.
Guys, on behalf of Totally Local Podcast, I'm your host, Andrew. Some people know me as Andrew Tophat. Some people know me as Andrew J. Talcott. Depends on what you can pronounce and spell. It's up to you. Christopher Dietz, CPA to the stars. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. Once again, we did it.
Once again.
Stay tuned for the 100th episode happening on the 22nd, I believe. Ming Chen, a Shared Universe Podcast Studio. This couldn't literally happen without you. So thanks, everyone, and enjoy the rest of your day.